This will be roll one of a recording with Sydney Berry of New Street, Deddington, in a house called Afric, on the 3rd of August 2005. And the recordist is, and the interviewer is, Colin Robinson.
Did I always tell you?
Well, your first one here is Polly Dealey?
Polly Dealey, yeah.
Yeah. Now, where was her shop?
Opposite you.
Opposite us?
Yeah, you know, Mrs. Orr's. Where Mrs. Hall used to live.
The old farmhouse. Right, okay.
The old farmhouse?
No. Next door to that.
A little cottage on the end.
What's her name?
Folly Cottage was at that end.
There was a little where I lived over there. Just opposite me, Mr. the boy from the big house. They got one house there, haven't
Robin,
they?
Robin,
that's
yeah.
It. That was it. And there was
Robin Hayward's house.
That's it. Right. And there was that was a little old shop.
Odds and ends?
Hey?
What did she sell? Odds and ends?
All bits of tobacco and Juvis, a thing for like a rubbery little square, and that they used to put that in water to make gravy.
Oh.
And old Charlie, her husband, he was a councilman. He used to sweep the roads and that, and he used to like to have a little drop of drink now and again, and also he smoked a pipe. And old Polly used to get hold of him and say, Charlie, like that. And Charlie had had some drink, and he stood at the end of the alleyway there, and old Polly was going around that corner, and Charlie was going the other way. One day he overlooked it, and we come out fat on the pavement. But all those kids used to go out there,
yeah.
You know, for sweets and that.
Sweets,
that's all,
yeah.
That was them. That one then. Then.
Then you've got the Plough Pub, of course, number two.
Yeah,
that's just here. We know that.
That's it. That was there.
Do you remember that being a pub?
Yeah. But my Dumfries was the last one. It was empty for a long time. And we'd moved down from...
So who was the last publican?
Humphreys.
Humphreys?
Yeah.
Remember his first name?
I can't remember it, but he got some boys, but, well, boys about my age, I think. But if I've got right, I think he'd only got one arm or something, Mr. Humphreys had.
Yeah.
But I think he left it, and then the pub was empty for all... Years.
Was it?
We used to use it as a playground because we lived next door, you see, up the steps.
So you've been down in the cellar then?
Yeah. They reckon there was a tunnel there across to the castle house years ago, and there was a place then in the cellar where it looked like bricks. You know what had been put there. And they had to go and dig in it out one day. But there was nothing there. And then my father was digging up the garden next door to you. And all of a sudden the spade went right down, out of sight. And they thought, oh, that was the tunnel. But it wasn't. It was what they call a rainwater well. The roof water used to go into a well, and then they could pump it out or get it out with a bowl. it wasn't the tunnel at all. And I've never known, nobody's, well, you hear people saying there was a tunnel there, but I've never seen anything.
It's interesting there that the cellar from the plough house goes underneath the steps.
Yeah.
I suppose at one time it could have been one building, the whole lot, the one building.
Oh yes, quite possibly it was, because underneath, under Mrs. Terry's there's two cellars, you see.
Yes.
And one was under their house, and the door to the cellar was next to the steps.
Yeah.
So they could drop the barrels of beer down there.
Oh yes. Yeah. We can still see that now.
Yeah.
We went to look at it once when. Your father did a drawing of it for Deddington News, didn't
Yes.
he? The cover.
Yes.
It had some coal down there.
That's right. Yes. Okay, then of course there was Dewey Course.
Charlie Clark's was on the corner of the store.
Your bakery. Well, they call it the bakery now, yes.
Yeah.
The bakehouse.
Yeah. I worked for him on and off for quite a long time. And his son was in the Navy in the First World War, and he was in the galley, you know, bakery on there, on a cruiser, I think it was. And when he came out, his father owned Denison Mill. And there was a miller down there, and the place came up for sale, and that's how old Dowie started baking there, and he was at it until he died.
Yeah.
So quite
this one here.
We had one high spot there. He used to make Hovis bread, and we had a special award, and. Hovis come and put two big signs up outside about this award, and we went. He took me up to London to see the loaf of bread what we'd made, and the award, and I forget where Islington I think it was somewhere, and all of the cakes and that there.
What sort of period would this be?
It was
When you got the award?
What year?
Roughly when you got the award. When was that?
Oh, I should think I was about 8 years old or so, something like that. Because I had to go, but I had to work when I was, eight.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I worked for Dowie, greasing all the tins for the bread, ashing. Chop the wood, get the wood in and out for the that. And then I'd had to take some of the bread out up to the near up the stile and up to Elkett Street and that. Another one we used to do was we made 14 little loaves, and every Saturday morning, and then I'd take those up to the church and put them in the first queue behind the door. And that was for the four people, and they used to go and pick it up there. And it was the people who put the money up for it was Cartwrighters at Aino. And they kept it right up until, I think it was when Cartwrighters got killed in a motor crash.
Right.
And that's up there. And of course, some of the local lads used to. They were always hungry. They might slip in the church and pinch one.
Cartwright Trust, wasn't it, of some kind?
Yes.
Because that wasn't the Dowie course that I knew, because he would have been about the same age as you. The one that was still living there when we came.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. That was the son.
That was the son?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you worked with his father?
His father used to come along the bakehouse. His father lived in Tilcot Street.
Right.
And old man Dowie used to come along every morning about 7 o'clock,
yep.
And help us in the bakehouse. And then he used to go to the Tons every night. He was a tight old devil.
Right.
About his half pint of beer and that.
But so you, when you were a lad, you worked for him or the son, the last one that was there?
Oh, no, it was his son.
Yeah, you worked for the son?
Yeah, one who was in the Navy in the war.
Right, so he was older than you.
Older than me.
Because he'd been gone some time, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Yes, that was Dowie, and you got him on that one.
Yeah, that was number three. Then you got, is that Mrs. Sykes, is it?
Mrs. Sykes, yeah.
Sweets.
Pilcot Street. Pilcot Street.
Mrs. Sykes Sweets, etc. What's that say after that? The bakery, is that?
No, she wasn't a bakery. She was a. By the bakery. Mrs. Sykes. She had a. In between. in between the bakery and the Lime Cottage, there was two little cottages there.
Oh, yes.
And Mrs. Sykes lived there, and she just done a few sweets and odd bits and pieces
right.
now and
right,
again.
Right.
And later on, there was a bloke named Teddy Lake. He used to have his coal on the way to coal every week underneath the table, so he didn't have to fetch it in from outside. And at the same time, there was a man called Drinkwater from Clifton. He got a van, and he come up with fish and that, you know, apples and all that sort of stuff on. And of course, it was the back of this van was open, so very often the kids would get on behind it, this thing, as it was going along, and. That they sometimes pinch one of the weights on the scales, and when they that old fishy come to weigh the fish, I couldn't find the weight. He went to all, and the kids had taken it to Teddy Lake and got three or four coppers for it. Then that was a regular thing. That was
okay. That's it. Mrs. Sykes did sweets then. In the house between the bakery and Lime Cottage.
That's it, yeah.
Was there another Granny Sykes in Philcott Street?
In Philcott Street, yeah. That
was there?
In Philcott Street, that was up by. When you get halfway down Philcott Street from the Market Square, and then you go up to the green, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, it was just on that junction, just above there.
Right.
So one of the cottages there.
Well, towards the bottom of Philcott Street, on the left, as you're coming away from the marketplace.
Yeah, that's right. It was just before the roads alter, you know.
That's a different Mrs. Sykes.
Yeah, that was a different Mrs. Sykes.
Was she called Granny Sykes?
Well,
she known as Granny Sykes.
Yeah, we call her. Yes, more.
I've got a photograph which has got Granny Sykes written on it, an old lady standing outside a shop.
Okay.
And what did she sell?
Well, only odd bits and that, you know, like sweets and a bar of soap or things.
Right.
Just like that.
Now then, what's this one? Number five.
Whereabouts?
What's this one here?
W. Corto. I don't know what the hell that is.
Island, does it say?
Island. Yeah. He was a vet.
A vet? Ah, yes. By the Stile, it says.
That's in Rob's house.
Oh, in Rob's house? Yes, yes. In the Stile house,
yeah,
yes.
He was there.
All right.
And the funny thing about him, he was next to the bakehouse. And very often we'd slip round with his loaf there. And he used to sleep in a camp bed downstairs in one of the front rooms. And then after that, some people named Beasley, when the island went away, some Beasley, some carpenters and that, they had that house, Rob's house, and up the store there was a barn place, and they used to make the coffins up there.
Mm-hmm.
They were all carpentry like, and being next door to them, when they got a body, they put a bag of bran around the body in the, and you come to the bakehouse for by the
bran, to keep it from smelling, stop it smelling.
That's it, yeah.
So was that barn you spoke of, was that what Rob now has as a thatched building? Is that the same building?
Well, it's opposite, almost on that big eye wall that borders the stile.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his garage now.
That's it.
Yeah. That's been a door on that side then.
And then there was, a bloke named Monkey Millington. He was his father lived in the old house, a very old house there, just above there, old Rob's house, isn't there?
Yeah.
He got some of the gardener and that, I think, hasn't he?
Oh, Leadenport, you mean?
Yeah, Leadenport. Yeah. Well, old Millen told me he was the farmer there. And his son, we got called, I don't know why they called him Monkey Millen, I don't know, on that. But he married a girl, one of the girls, the daughter of the people who made the coffins. On there.
Yeah.
On that one.
Okay, oh. And there was Fowler's.
Fowler's, Miss Fowler's. Yeah, next to the Tons.
Next to the Tons.
Yeah.
This side of the Tons?
This side of the Tons, you'll see where the man's got a garage now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, that was the bakehouse.
Right.
The oven there. Because these old ovens were quite big things. And they used to bake bread and then. Miss Fowler was, one of them. She was a got a bad foot, like a cripple.
Yeah.
And she used to have, sweets and cakes in the shop window. And the kids used to come up there. And of course, she got some curtains up to just inside the door. And the kids would go up there and get some, paper for sweets, and the scales was just by these curtains. And when she was putting that on, they'd put their hand behind the curtain and hold the weight down, get a few extra.
Okay, and then there was the Crown and Tons. The
Crown and Tons, yeah, that was Duca. I don't know how you spell that.
Yeah.
But he was a character. He was one of the offspring.
Roughly, when is that we're talking about? What period would that be?
Right up till when I think it was, 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And they were a long while.
Yeah.
They were, and this bloke, Duke of Tompkins, he was always something wrong with him. But he was always swearing and doing about it. But of course, they used to call him Duker, and then he'd chase you or something like that.
Yeah.
And that. But also, he used to go down to when the farmers, Charlie Gardner, the farmer, old Duker used to go in there and lead the horses about,
Then we had a blacksmith, number 8.
That's it, Tibbetts. His daughters are still alive.
Is that Tibbetts?
Oh, Tibbetts.
Yeah.
All right, Tibbetts, blacksmith. And Petrol, he said.
Yeah, they saw
One of them died recently. There's Mary and Martha.
That's it. One of them.
Yeah.
And they were his daughters?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Three daughters. Ivy. I know Margaret was the youngest one. And then the oldest one, I forget her name. But she was married, and the other one was in the between, I think.
Yeah. So what building is that then? Is that where the Indians
are? Where the dentist is now.
Yeah, the garage.
That side?
Yeah, probably.
Ah, that side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and okay. The Congregational Church.
Yes.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
side.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And then this side to that, there was a man named George Padgington. He had two Great Danes. They had done great things.
Yeah, yeah.
And he used to walk around the town, they were like little ponies, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So the hardware shop, Gubbs, is it?
Yeah, there was.
Number 9, salt paraffin.
Salt paraffin. That was, I think it was two owners I could remember there, I think. Gibbs, I think it was one Gibbs. And they won that shop there where the Indian is now.
Yes. The hardware shop before that.
That's it. Well,
Beardmore.
Yeah.
Beardsley,
was it? Yeah. Ronnie Calls, that was one. And then Beardsley, that was the last one.
The last one, yeah.
Beardsley. He sold all hardware and paraffin, that sort of stuff.
We were doing that when we came.
Yeah, and the first person Gibbs, who he lived over by the Congregational,
yeah.
And he used to come over the road to his shop. But that was bang full of all sorts of things, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Now is it Dean, a chemist?
Yes.
And the term, where was that?
That was Mrs. Marshall used to live there between the...
Yeah, Ella Marshall's house.
Rose Lee. Right. Rose Lee. Chemist shop.
A chemist shop. And he used to have them big, I don't know what you call them, great big bottles on the shelf.
Yeah, coloured bottles.
Colours, yeah. And he sold everything. Well, anything old to their poisoned, for killing rats and that.
Oh, yeah.
Dogs and anything else, but you know. But there was people named Shaw, I think, go after them, but they were very good chemists, you know.
There's a house on the other side now,
Compton's.
To the other side of the Congregational Chapel, which is called the Old Bakery.
Yeah,
was that another
bakers
there involved?
That was another one there. I can't write the name of the baker who was there, but it was a baker's up and down there, definitely. Yeah.
A lot of bakers around then. Eight? A lot of bakers up and down the street.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was about 8 or 10.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Now, I can't read this one, Sid. What's this?
This one?
Yeah, this one here, look. No, by my little finger, look.
Dean.
No, underneath Dean.
Holiday, no.
No, no, this one. Mason's, it says there, look.
Oh, Mason's. Yeah, they kept the volunteer.
Oh, that's what it says, volunteer, yes. The volunteer
They kept the volunteer.
Right.
And there was the next door, Dean's was just next door to it, you know, the chemist.
Yes.
Well, they had the pub. And then one of the sons, they were just the taxi business with awesome chariot down to the station. And the stables and that were up the orchard there. And the man, Mason, he was a bill poster and all. And up just at the bottom end of the grove, there was a big billboard, right off, it was a big one out near the size of the house, really, and old Cocker Mason, he used to get his ladder and his little stick, and he could get a big, ever since big things, advert things, and up and then, like this, quite a thing, and he used to go, the volunteer also. The stables there, up in the yard there, the stagecoach used to come from Banbury and swap horses there. They'd bring the horses down to the volunteer, and then two new horses would go on, and the next two used to go to as far as Woodstock. And one bad winter, before my time, a walk course told me that the mail joint was going to Woodstock, and it came on a snowstorm, and there was up by Tackley Turn somewhere, there was an old oval there, and he and the horses went down into this barn, and the boat died with exposure in there, froze to death.
Yeah.
That was up there. Mm. I saw them change the outside the volunteer. There was I think you can still see it whether the thing was outside with the rings where they tied the horses, you know. And I see them change that and come with the coach bay up there. And that, there was vets there afterwards, later years. Two or three vets had a place of the volunteers, and you could go up there with your pet dog and attend to it, you know, a Bambi for them.
I remember the yard, I remember going up the yard.
Yeah.
And the house at the back. or something at the back.
Oh, Mrs. Terry's daughter has done a water garden up there or something.
Has she?
Yeah, that costs no end of money, I think. Mm-hmm. They pulled all them stables and all that down and made it into a water garden.
Oh, that's right, because it was an antique shop for a time, that's wasn't it? That's when, that's what we went
that's
to look
right,
at
yes.
it.
Yes.
I can't remember the name, Mrs. Deborah.
Yeah.
I can't remember, the people still in the village.
Yeah. Okay, now we've got one here, number 12. Holidays, is that, what is this? Petrol, ironware?
Holidays.
Holidays.
Yeah, there was the old man Holiday and all his sons, about three or four sons.
Yeah.
They
where was that?
On the corner of the Hudson's Lane.
Oh, where the dress shop is, where the garage used to be.
Yeah.
Used to be the garage, right?
That.
Before that then.
Well, he had...
Yeah.
He had... there in the shop there on that corner, and the petrol tank was just on the pavement there. You used to pull up on that corner. They sold bicycles, all cars, farms, wagons, all that, and different things like that. You could go there and get fishing stuff,
yeah,
hammers, all that hardware and that. And they used to mend it later years, used to repair cars and that there.
Yeah.
And they also sold shotguns and made their own carriages to sell.
Yeah.
That was a big...
It's interesting then that now there is a bicycle shop at the back.
Yeah, yeah.
And just beyond that is the gun shop.
That's right.
Even now.
Yeah.
So the same trades have come back.
That's it.
Yeah.
Old Sapper Holiday. He was so shocked in the war, and he used to keep going like this, like this, and every now and again, but they called him Sapper. And I went to him after the war, you could have had a job to get cartridges. So I went up there one day, I said, "Hey, Sapper, have you got any cartridges, or are you going to have a shot?" No, he said, "Well, I've got one or two somewhere." And anyway, he gave him about three. And the big apple tree off my garden, there was a big apple tree up there then, but twice as big as mine. And the first shot I had was a pigeon up in that apple tree, and I let drive at it. And you know, I don't know what you'd put in this damn cartridge, but you know, ball bearings, I think, out of the bike. And I could see them, you know, as I shot like this, I could see them. They didn't kill the pigeon too far apart. But that's what he stuck it quite a while.
All right. Now we've got one here. Is this at the Grove?
Yeah,
Wyatt.
Charlie Wyatt.
Charlie Wyatt.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was on the corner of the Grove.
Yeah.
This side.
This side of the Grove.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, opposite Holiday's shop.
Right.
And then just up the Grove, that was where the baker's oven was. And he used to do the same old thing, like a big baker's oven.
Mm-hmm.
And then he delivered North Aston and round that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they get about round like that.
Quite a cutthroat business then, all these
bakers. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Competing, yeah. Ah, where's this barber, number 15?
A barber.
Barber here.
Yeah.
Joy, what's that say?
Joy.
There?
Yeah, on the corner.
Is that Joey?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can't understand the own writing, can I? This one. Charlie Wyatt.
Dan White, yeah. Well,
oh, sorry.
Not
Gibbs. Freeman.
Freeman.
Yeah.
Right. 14 was Wyatt the baker.
That's it. And on the opposite corner, where the bill thing was, there was Ace there with some steps up on the corner, on the where, you know, just where Dr. what thing lives up there, that side,
yeah.
Isn't he? And the Ace on the corner, that was Joey Freeman. All the kids grew there, had the haircut there.
Right.
So I haven't identified him. Where is he?
It seems to be the other corner of the Grove.
Yeah.
Next door.
Charlie Owens.
Owens, Grove Cottage.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. And that's Joey Freeman.
Yeah.
Is he same relation to Den Freeman and that lot?
I wouldn't know about that.
Right. Okay. He was a barber. Then back on the other side, of course, then we're back to Lewis's.
Yeah, that was a Lewis.
16.
Pethy Lewis.
Pethy Lewis.
Yes, his mother, she had a shop just above the holidays on the same side.
All right.
And that old general grocery and odd bits and that. The cigarettes, they had a big advert in the window one time about Kensington cigarettes. And there was a picture with the butler with a bar with a packet of fags there, Kensington. And you got a prize if they sent a prize in, and it was a good line. And it was Kensington, my heart's delight, tarred rope and camel shite. Kensington. Your castle of cigarettes are nothing for us. You can stick your bucks packed up somewhere.
What was Jack Lewis's name?
This is Mrs. Lewis.
Oh, right.
So her shop was.
Holidays, you go up straight towards the tour.
Yeah.
The British Legion was always just below the Legion.
Ah, so it's the same one that Jack Lewis had then?
That's it.
Later on.
That's it.
Right,
that,
the same shop, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was his mother, and old Pethy.
Yes.
He had the labour exchange along Hudson Street, by that bicycle shop.
The
neighbour
exchange.
A nice little place, like a funny up along Hudson Street, a little value.
Yeah.
It was a big snail thing. Stone.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Well, that's where the bicycle shop now is.
That's it.
Now, isn't it?
And next to that is
Upmore's.
Well, it is Upmore's, the gun shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which used to be the massage bar thing.
There was a little garden there, and it used to be railed off. This great big stone thing,
yeah.
Like a big snail.
Yeah.
And there was railings around it.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah, I've got a photograph of that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, it's Miss Lewis's. And then there was the British Legion.
Yeah, that was my dad, and when they come out of the war, there was a foundry at first there. Mm-hmm. And when the lads come home from the World War, they got together and made a red triangle club. They put a few bob in together and start it off. And then later on, it got a bit bigger, and then it got to be a British Legion. And it was left that as long as there's a British Legion uses it, that letter there, they can keep that building. But if they change it, it goes back to the parish council.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That's why they had all these people come in this last year or two, put money in it, to get a club there.
Yeah.
And so the club is... The British Legion still got the right to have their meetings and all that there. But if you want to... Go and have a drink in there. You're supposed to join the club.
Yeah.
This Dendon Club, they call it.
Mm-hmm. Beyond that, number 18, we've got
Lammy Coles.
Hot something. What's this?
Oh, Ted Dealey.
No, but above this one here, look.
This one.
E.
Oh, Bolton's, no. It was Bolton's shop. There was a butcher shop on the opposite. And there was another bakery there somewhere.
Well, we've got more on the other, another bit of paper yet. But this one, what does that say?
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Hoare. And that was one of their family, I think. And he used to do, he was a painter and decorator. Oh. And he used to do comb the wood. You know, I don't know, they used to colour the wood. And then he'd come along, and when he was doing it, he got like a comb. And he'd curve, lovely curves.
He had
a couple of sons. One of them had built that bungalow right in the bottom of the town. You know, opposite where Frank Rainbow lived.
So where was Mrs. Hall?
Same side as the British Legion, was that? Halls?
But you know, as you go in through the tour, it was on the corner of that, British Legion side.
All right, just on the corner house there. Yes, the side of the tour, yes.
In fact, I think he had that, and his garden went up the tour halfway, and there was an exit there where they could get a farm or anything like that.
Yeah. And Goundrey.
Goundrey. He used to do, that was a bit of an electrical shop.
Yeah.
And he used to do all those accumulators for your wireless sets.
Yeah.
And,
Where was
Goundrey?
Oh, just above the tour.
Next house, the other side.
Yeah, there was quite a few, some lions there or something there, weren't there? Two stone lions.
Yeah, stone lions outside.
Yeah, that's it, somewhere there. Yeah, that was quite a thing with it. He used to sell wireless sets and things like that. And of course they all had a accumulator for the wireless sets. And one of the chaps who worked for him, that's all he'd do with all these accumulators, deliver them to the villages, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Can we go on? Are you feeling all right to go on?
Yes, well.
Do you feel okay to go on? Do you feel okay to go on now?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry, mate, my voice.
No, absolutely no problem. No problem at all. Right, now we've got one here on the next page. It begins with big buttons. What's that? Buttons?
Bolton's.
Sorry.
That's opposite the tour.
Yep.
There's where Dr. Wallace and Dr. O'Donnell lives. You know where he lives. Well, Bolton's was up a bit further than that, opposite the tour. And that's where the bakery was.
So we're talking about the other side of the Holcombe now?
No, it was part of the Holcombe, really.
Part of the Holcombe.
Yeah. There was a woman, she died not all that long ago, in the little part. And the people who had it before that, they pulled the old oven there, but that was another one. And they used to bake bread. They also had a school, and had some of the people from France, girls from France, they come. And one of the girls, she got married to a bloke named Stopford out there. And then, of course, they had a butcher shop there, up in that big house, Holcombe, just behind there. They used to kill all their own beasts and all that there, like that. And the funny thing about that, we lived along Earl's Lane, and somehow or other, my father got a standing order at Bolton's, and I had to go along every Monday night and get a piece of salt beef, either salt beef or something like that. And old Mr. Bolton, he used to stand there with a white smock on and got a bit of a beard. And he said to me one Monday night, he says, "Hello, boy." He says, do you like cider? I said, I don't know what that is. Well, we will see if we can alter that, he said. And he went coming around because these old bits of meat was all in water, like in the back place there. And he come out and he says, here you are. And he got a tiny little old apple. And he said, here you are, my boy. Now I know your way home, and I had to come across the crossroads to see him down Earl's Lane. He said, chew chew that, he said, and that's cider.
Okay. Nolan. Is this Dealey the carrier, this one?
Yeah, Dealey.
Where was he?
He was opposite, you know where the library is?
Yes.
And up that side, but to buy a Gaunter's shop, as I said.
Yep.
There, Ted Dealey, he was a coal man.
Coal.
Yep. And wood and that. And they also a carrier. And every Saturday and Thursday, they come round the, all the businesses, baker to the old Dowie. Anything to the Banbury today, Mr. Hills? And you used to get the yeast to put in the bread. From there's a church line in there somewhere. And anything else like that. And then he could take his horse and cart, go to Banbury. And then at 4 o'clock time, he come back. And if he got a load on, I used to have to take a trace horse down the bottom of Dunton Hill. To look on to bury up the hill, but he done that for years, and it was Fred Dealey's, you know, old Fred Dealey, one of his, on there.
Wow. Yes, extra horse. Yeah. Okay, now there's a farmer here. What's his coat? What's this?
Coles, monkey souls, Lammy Coles.
Lammy Coles.
He lives in the house on the crossroads, which is a bit of a mess now, behind the traffic lights on the north.
Yeah, good part of that.
It was a wild old, but up to the school, and Lammy Coles lived in that calm there. And
I'm
he had
quite identified this. Is that the farmhouse on the far side of the?
That's it. Yeah, the school.
Manor Farm.
That's it. Yeah. And one of his son was out of that electric chair thing going round, wasn't he? Not long ago.
Oh, yeah, John
Cole. That's it. And funny thing, he was ever such a funny kid. And yet he was a Navy bloke, wasn't he? In charge of that.
Quite, clever.
And Mrs. Cole was in her day there. We got a double tennis court along Earl's Lane, and Mrs. Coles and Mrs. Ducklock and Arcraft, and they all used to play, you know, dress up there, little boys.
Okay.
Yeah, he also done, Lammy Coles also got a farm, you see, at Tommel, as you go to Hampton.
Yeah.
It's on the left hand side.
Tommel, yes.
Yeah, he farmed all that way there.
And round the corner is the King's Arms.
The King's Arms, yes.
And they did petrol, didn't they?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yes, yeah. Petrol, buses, the King's Arms, Stanley Hall. He had Stanley Hall had three or four buses and that. Run buses to.
Oh, I see, yeah, buses, yes.
Yeah. On that. And the foreman's, he was a big foreman's man, or Stanley Hall, tight old devil he was. He had three or four buses in the time, you know, and you could go up the yard there, and there was a way out to the back, up to, you know, the dock lane there.
Yes.
up there, and then there was a, there was a professor garden there where the school playground is now. That all went with this Stanley Oldman. We had a thing there with the LDV, you know, volunteer stuff where you, people, as soon as the war finished, it started.
Yeah.
And LDV, that we were volunteers. And we had to go about putting these tree trunks up across the road and all that sort of thing.
What do you call it?
LDV.
LDV.
Old Rob's got the papers up here.
Before it was called the Home Guard.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah, afterwards.
Yeah.
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 LDV. I got a little thing. I'll give it to Old Ron to take care of her. And it says about the prayer man to view that. They sent me, with Stanley Hall. He was a man there, you see, there was the LDV. They had to keep a watcher or somebody on guard, you know, at night. And I don't know, I was up there one night with another chap, and we were supposed to ring up Stanley Hall at a certain time. I think it was 2200, you see. And and ring up and tell him it was all clear and that, and we were in place there. And we made a mistake with the time, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning when we phoned him. And he was very, very pleased about that. Yeah.
So who's this shoe repairer then?
That's Chris L.
Chris L.
Yeah, Chris L.
Yeah. Where was he?
Well, first of all, he had a shoe shop down Philcott Street, where there was a big house there on Chapel Square, and you know, on the, well, you know where the flats are there.
Yep.
There was a Jack Cullers there or something, it's down there where you come down Philcott Street a little way. And there's two or three houses with, on some steps, like that.
Yes.
And there used to be a coal yard there.
Yep.
On the right hand side, what they call the knoll.
That's it. Yeah, just past the knoll, and that's it. It was up some steps there, stone steps. It was about
four. Where Aaron
Elston
lives.
That's it. And he used to mend, you know, take your shoes to him and get them mended. That's where he lived there. And then he moved up to by the ball ring.
Ah, that's why he's here, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereabouts in the ball ring would that be?
There used to be an old pub there, didn't there? The Albion.
Three Horseshoes? Oh, that's no, it's called that, Three Horseshoes. No, it's called before that. Joe's Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe's Place was a pub.
That's it, it was there.
Was it?
It was Cummins had it when I knew there was a farmer, but the old days. It's got some good stonework round the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Joe's House, yeah.
Well, next door to that was a house with a step going towards the Victoria thing there. That's where Chris L was.
No. No, I can't read this. I'm sorry, Sil, I can't read this one. Furlong?
Churchill's here, have I got? No.
It's before that.
King's Arms. Fortescue.
Fortescue.
You know the block of flats there in the Bullring?
Yeah.
You know, where they got antique shop and all
yes.
that sort of
yes.
thing. Well, Fortescue has got two offices or so in that block there. And
were
they were
solicitors?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. They had them and they were there for donkeys. Mr. Phillips on the green.
I was trying to think of his name, Charlie Phillips.
Yeah, he worked for...
He was up in the Sticks, you remember? He did a lot for a time.
Yeah.
And then there's another solicitor here then, Bennett?
Bennett. Bennett.
Got him down as a solicitor. Benner, is it? Down as a solicitor.
Can't get that one. Where do they live?
Arthur Fortescue.
Yeah. But I've got to think about that one.
Never mind.
I'll come to it. Oh yeah, a minute. Oh,
and you got another sweet shop, Miss something or other.
Oh, Miss French.
French.
Yeah.
Ah. Yes.
Miss French.
Yes.
Next to the Red Lion. Red Lion.
Right.
A sweet shop, just a sweet shop.
Yeah.
Two old ladies, and all the sweets was all in a big like this with boxes and that. Oh, everybody went to Miss Wright.
Which side of the Red Line as you look at it?
On the top end.
Far end, yes.
Yeah,
far
the King's Arms, Arms yeah. opposite, down yeah. by the King's Arms, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was some solicitors in that big house on the corner, and they were there, well, quite before Walt Corse and all them were there, because and then there were some people called Van Os come there during the war, a Dutchman, and they brought some people called Kerridge and that up with him, and he got killed in the war up there, and what was it? He lived in Collins. They were solicitors as well in the same house.
Right.
That was Mrs. Collins, Dora Collins.
All I know about them, I couldn't remember the name and that there, but that was in the marketplace. You know, just on that top corner.
Mm.
And there's another thing about that top corner. They, every now and again, when it was put in by fair, all along the horse fair, from the marketplace to the crossroads, I don't know whether the pieces of iron are still in the wall, but they every year it was a horse show sale up there. And they used to bring all these horses and they'd trot them along the road to the crossroads, and then if they made a thing they'd go spit on rounds and spit like that. And that was, well, they used to tie some of these horses up on that office block where 40 screws used to be, and if you look by the King's Arms, even now, if you and you look across the road towards Fortescue's shop, there's some big doors there, and some of these horses were tied up on there, and they stamped through a cellar somewhere, and they went in, and that they're still there now. About that,
I've seen the rings on the wall.
That's it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Was Fortescue's where the antique shop is now? Or
no, that was his coal master, that was. Armsworth.
Okay. So it's where the flats are in the building?
Where the flats were. There's a thing on its own, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the
way it. House. Well, that was a big. I didn't. It was before my time, they weren't there when. But that was Churchill's shop.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
And Old Course told me one thing. He said if you went there to Churchill's for a pair of boots, yeah, come on up, sir. And they go up to one of the top rooms, sit yourself down there, and I'll get you a drink, bottle of tot of whiskey, and then buy a pair of boots for, you know, a couple of quid. And they, if you have a look on the outside of it, you'll see where there was a gantry up there.
Yeah.
And that's where they used to get all the stuff, the feed for the animals, and the farmers used to come there and buy it. And then all it just be up at the top there. They sold almost anything. And I had when I lived over the road, I was the postman and ex-postman. He was the one who showed me how to make a barometer, you know, with two bottles, a jam jar and a bottle. And he got a little clock there. It was only a wooden thing. And I said to him, Mr. Corcoran, say long you had that clock there. Oh, I got that from Churchill's, he said, years ago. And I said, how much was it then? And I don't know where he says sixpence halfpenny or something like that. And it was still going. And it was only up there wood, you know, and you went up. And old Tommy, he was a postman, Tommy Corcoran, I'm diverting now. But he used to have to deliver the mail from Deddington to Great Chew, walk, twice a day, to up the Costa Fields, up there to Dunstew and Hampton, right up to Great Chew and back again. And I said to him, I'll bet your legs, okay, you know, sort of thing. He pulled his socks up like that, and they were all like silver scales, where, you know, the wet grass and that. And he was like that till he died, you know.
Good grief. Great tune, that place.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is, the sweet shop was 27. And we've got 28 Westerns. Paper shop? Westerns? Was there a paper shop?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the post office.
I became the post office.
It wasn't a telephone, no, it was, first of all, it was just papers.
Yeah.
Wetton, yeah, that's right.
Is it Western or Wetton?
Yeah, Western, Western, yeah. Name like that.
Yeah. And the Red Lion, of course, 29.
Yeah, that's Jimmy Green.
Yeah.
And, Red Lion at one time.
Jimmy Green.
Yeah, he kept it for a long
now,
time. Holidays had it at one time.
Yeah.
Tom Holiday had it as well one time.
Josie Stevens' father had it sometime as well.
That's it. Yeah, that's
what was
right.
His name?
Yeah, West.
That was West.
That's it. Yeah. His name was that, yeah. Right.
I've got a photograph of Josie Stevens standing out. I think that's standing outside it.
Yeah, yeah. They were doing it. Yeah.
Okay, number 30 was Bernard Dobwell, the baker.
Yeah, two lots there.
Oh, butchers, sorry.
Two brothers.
Yeah.
A butcher and a baker.
Ah.
That's where Wallins was.
Yes.
Yeah, Wallins, and there's a flower shop there now, isn't there?
That's right.
So Bernard Dobwell was the butcher. And which way around is it?
Let's get this right. Bernard Dobwell. My dad used to go down too. Up Earl's Lane on a Saturday night, and he'd never go down there to get the meat until about getting dark. And then when they hadn't got any fridges, you see, so you went down and he'd throw the meat at you, more or less. And then Dickie Dogwell was up the chewer. And he done the same. Like,
was he the baker then, Dickie Dodwell?
Dickie Dodwell, yeah.
The baker, right.
Yeah. He used to have horse and trap, loads of done stew and all that. And when we was kids, we used to go to, they had point to point races at summertime. Mm. And us kids, we used to go up there, you see, to get a free meal. Because you could always go up through the cars and that. And get somewhere, you know, somewhere. And we come back one night from these races, and we come up the roadway to North Ashton, and we got up to the main road, and Dickie Dodwell was just coming from Dunstew with his horse and trap, with this got like a tarpaulin over the back of it. And we said, "Hey, Mr. Dobell, give us a ride." And it was raining. And he said, "Okay, fine, boys, lift the canvas up," he says, "and get in." Well, of course, that was all right. But when we got in, there was a tray of little cakes in there. Anyway, we couldn't resist, we were hungry. So we cleared the bus. And we got up to Deddington Torridge and Dale. "Mr. Dowdell, we have jump eight and thank you very much for giving us a ride." I don't know why you said anything.
Yeah. And we had Tucker.
Tucker, Tommy Tucker, yeah.
Tommy, is it? Tommy Tucker, number
32. He kept the shop.
Dickie Double.
The shop, where you got a shop, the cafe or something.
Yeah,
there,
yeah, yeah.
There was the post office was there in that shop, and they sold almost anything, you know, sugar and cheese and all the sugar used to be put in sacks they sold, you know, like show you what sort it was and that. And Tommy Ducker used to deliver around the little bit the villages nearby, like, you know, and he had a horse and cart to go around delivering. So on that, and in that house there, if you look as you come back to the market opposite the town hall, there's a, what you call it, the front gate is the iron gate, I think there is, and that's the front door to the what was the house, wasn't it, before. Well, if you go in there, turn left, and you go along a little passage, and there's another door facing you. And if you open that door, that's a well. And it's about, well, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 feet deep, as clear as anything. They used to make beer out of that somewhere before my time, right? But that's as clear as anything, that is. If you
So you said that was also the post office?
That was the post office up the far end. Like that, and then all the grocery down this other end. All the biscuits were in there. You didn't have a packet of biscuits with that. They had tins with you get the broken biscuits for next to nothing there.
So when did the post office move round to where Garrett had it?
Oh, when some time ago. It was in my youth, you know. Ivy Gregory, what's her name, around the bottom of the town. Old Frank Rainbow, you remember?
Yes.
And his daughter, his wife. She worked in the park with Tommy Tucker and up there. And the other one, you missed him or somehow, Jack Compton.
Yep.
Someone decided to give you fishmongers.
Haven't got to him yet. Where was that then?
Oh, he was up Main Road by Tibbetts.
Yeah, he was where the old three horseshoes, just above where Rick Story used to live. Opposite the Voltaire.
Opposite the Voltaire, that's right.
Yeah. Just before the road dips back to.
There was a phone box there at one time, just behind there.
Right. So, thank you, that extra number.
And Dol Compton, she was with Rainbows, and they were the two who run the post office then. Although it was all under Tucker's.
Right. And we got a.
While you were onto that one, if you like, up above the Tibbetts and that there, where the phone box used to be, you know where the car's parked now? Mm-hmm. That was Jack Compton's fish shop. And he used to have and fruit and all that, and he had a piebald nag, and good rain of all the villages of the summer time and all rain like that. I'll work for him for a time, and that's where I learned to fillet fish and all that stuff. And we used to get the fish, he'd order it from Grimsby at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was in the morning, at 8 o'clock in the morning. And a carrier somewhere used to pick this fish up and this big box of fish and bring it up there. And one day the car had broke down or something, and of course they got a shot by an old director gone to me. He said, you better go down to the station and see if you get some help. He said, then porters will put that box of fish on the carrier for you and see if you can get it up here. Well, that was all right until I got to Clifton Hill coming up here. And when I couldn't push it up, I had to turn it round and pull it up to where it was. Oh. That was another one. Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, one of the things he had me on one day, he said, got a nice little job for you today, isn't he? And I said, what's that, Mr. Compton? Right, take these sacks, he said. Go down to Banbury, and go down the main street, and you'll go down there on the right hand side, he said, and you'll see a fish shop. There's no glass in front of it, it's just a counter. He said, all the fishes are on there. He said, I'll bring them up, and you got told them to you would be coming. He said, when you get there, they'll get the those sacks you've got, and they'll wrap the big piece of ice up and put it on there, and it'll be wringing wet. He said, as soon as you got it on your bike, away you come, he said, up to North Aston, and don't let it melt. Colonel Taylor's having a party and he wants ice for his drinks. And I had to sweep go from Banbury up there with a block of ice.
To North Aston.
And I used to go to out in the morning, first thing he'd say, go to Middlebarton, to the gamekeeper's house. And that morning the gamekeeper had been shooting, and he'd say, how many do you want today then, boy? I say, well, I don't know. He said, a dozen or 20. And rabbits, freshly shot rabbits. And if I was lucky, sometimes he got one half grown, you see, the game here. Here you are, I'll buy you another one. So that was a good one.
Yeah. Let's crack on with these then. There's a cob. Is that a cob?
Yeah.
This one. J.H. What's this one here? J.H. I.H. Cobb?
Yeah. Ticky Wells was...
Before him, what's this one?
Tony...
You've got Tucker's there, then you got this one here.
Yeah. Townley, it looks like, doesn't it? But
that was Tommy Tucker.
Yeah.
And this one here, look.
Yeah, J.H. I think Tommy Tucker.
This is the co-op you're talking about, is it?
Yeah.
Groceries and bakers and
The co-op.
Yeah.
Were big for them.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
They had they done everything, bread, milk, every day, and everything like that. And that was still the same place.
Same place, that's right. Yeah. And then Ticky Wells.
Yeah, Ticky Wells. He got two shops. He had the one up by where Alan's are on there, and all that, like the furniture, all clothes, boots, everything like that. And then he got the bottom shop by the uniform. There was a shop there on the corner by the corner of the market.
Oh, yes.
And Picky Wells had that as well, it was a strong shop.
Where the police station is?
No, in the market. Oh, yeah, where the police basement is there. Yeah. That Tiggy Wells had that one as
well.
Right. And he, Mike, is his money. He loaded his little van up. He done it himself, and he'd go all around the villages. And Tiggy Wells, he used to come on all these, everybody really, and he'd come to our race on a Saturday, and Mrs. Berry, what, anything today? No. No, she said, we're all out today. I see, I've got just a thing for you, he said. So you always want a pair of, got some new pants on, long johns. He said, you better have some more there going. And then, of course, he used to put a little bit on them, and then you would pay what you could each week, you see.
Yeah.
And he must have made a fortune.
On tick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's this one? Another carrier here?
Yeah. That's another dealie, Fred Delius. This one. Carpenter, yeah, Callows.
Callows?
Yeah, Callows.
Callows, another carrier, yeah.
He was up.
Where was that?
Jack Callow was up round by the school, the Dendon School.
Huh.
There was a coal yard there.
Yeah.
And they used to do coal and wood and all that, and carriers. They used to go vampy twice a week and all that, with the horse and cart.
Yeah.
Getting the stuff from Banbury.
And this one, is that?
That's Callows there, isn't it? Oh, I don't know who that is. That's a good one, isn't it?
Looks like Cheeky, is it? No.
Yeah.
It's not another D, is it? What's
that? No.
Something Mother?
Shop French, no.
I don't know. Read that.
Oh, that. Callows. Now you've got me going on that one for a minute.
Never mind, you might remember it later.
Yeah.
And there's a...
Is that Busby? No. No.
Oh. And what's this one? Ladies
Richardson? Claire Richardson.
Claire Richardson, yeah.
Yeah. Charlie West, his wife, and Claire Richardson, see, I don't know whether they were... relatives or not, but there's a funny little, as you go out the marketplace, there's a little house on the left hand side, on the right hand side, with a bit of railings round and some steps up to it.
Going out which way?
Coming from Clifton into the marketplace. And then on your left hand side, there were some steps up to the gardens, and there was a little piece of corner, and I got she's got a shop in there, ladies' wear. Her and Mrs. West, that's where they had a shop there.
So you're coming through Chapel Square.
Yeah.
Towards the market. Towards
there, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just on. If you look, it was what you call some steps or some concrete there on that corner. They've altered it a bit.
On the left, we're talking about.
Yeah, the left going up before you turn along to Mrs. Valentine's along there.
Right.
And
it's the back of
Norman's.
Stone.
Back of Norman's. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So that's.
What was the relationship between Claire Richardson and Mrs. West?
I don't know, but they were always there.
Well, 38.
And they were all those ladies.
Okay. Then we got a, looks like Weaver. Seems to be here.
Wheeler.
Bertie Weaver. Wheeler or Weaver?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, that's right. He was at Weaver's. He was a grocer's.
Right.
Over by the flats, where they got the flats now, or do they computers or something or other? Offices and
that. Oh, yes.
Because Sandy Ockhoff's put his shoppers in there, you see, as well.
Got Centre Point.
Yes.
Right.
And that was Bandy Burt.
Bert Weaver.
Burt Weaver, yeah.
Right, Bandy. Bandy Burt, wasn't
that's
he?
It. Yeah. And he had all his bags of sugar and that all on the pavement outside, yeah. And that. And he sold all Burt's groceries and that.
Right.
To that area.
That's 39. Then, is this another butcher, is it?
Yeah.
Is that a Hopcraft?
Yeah, Sandy Hopcraft.
Sandy Hopcraft.
That's it, I worked for him as well.
Right. So which one was that then? Which shop is that?
The shop is up next to Bandy Burt in that narrow bit.
Yeah.
And he had his slaughterhouses all up the Grove. He used to kill a lorry load of pigs or sheep every night and send them to the field. And of course he used to serve all the dead income for the joints and meat and that for a Sunday and that. And his missus was a tight old thing, you know. But I had one or two things with them. When I had to take the meat round, walk with legs of mutton and that down to the big houses and that, and on my arms, and that used to cut your arms and that, you know. And then sometimes he'd say, can't you stay in here on some the papers, the Sunday papers, what wasn't sold the week before from Saunderses. They used to hold out flat like that. And then when I was cutting a piece of meat up, put it in there, and I had to unfold it. And old Sandy said to me one day, he said, "Hey, old boy, take this knife, wipe it for me." And I took it out the back in a bucket of water. And they used to have mutton cloths then in those days, didn't they? And I got this knife, got mutton cloth like that, and I went up like that. And it went straight across, the knife went straight across all four fingers. So I thought, well, I've only got a bit of rag, a handkerchief. So I just put it around that, like, and I went back into the shop and I said, "Okay, you'll meet knife, Mr. Hopcraft. What's wrong with your other foot? Then nothing, Mr. Hopcraft. Show me," he said. He says, "You'll work it on this wrong time next time," he said. And I would never have got that. It's always like that. And you go up there on the Saturday night when we'd been all around the villages with a bloke named Jack Mulcher. We'd come back, and then I had to unload the trailer, what we'd been towing about all day, and any bits of meat put them in the apple blocks, like, with a bit of gauze on it. Put it in there, and then go and stand in front of Mrs. Hopcraft or old Sandy, be in the sheet of glass, you know, like a little desk. And he says, what do you want, that boy? I said, "Can I have my wages, please, Mr. Hopcraft?" He said, "How much do you think you're bloody well worth, then?" I said, "As much as you like to give me, Mr. Hopcraft, please." He said, "Here you are," he said, "I'll give you a pint of sausages for your bloody cheek."
That's probably a good place to change the reel, because it says nearly finished, this one.
That's it.
So I'll switch this one off.